Posted a different one.
Yeah, he did.
Holy, holy, holy.
more song, 161. The Comforter has come. All four verses. BBFOhioatprotonmail.com, and the rest of you fill out the card and have her handy. All right, we got BBF Evangelism Project. We got them sitting up here on the front step. It's the Law is the track we're giving out. And please grab your pack and help us get. We have 700 to get out by the end of the month, and we're, I think, halfway through the month, right? So we aren't quite halfway through the tracks, but we're halfway through the month. And it's a good track, by the way. You go to chick.com and click on tracks and then pick this one, and you can read it for free right online. By the way, then copy the link and put it on your social media. That's one good way of some of your people have social media sites. People will see that and go to it and read it. All right, so we're going to get right into our current events update this morning. Headline reviews in the news. The first one is the Sodomite Antichrist agenda. It's, I know some of you are like, you know, that's almost every week. Yes, it is. But this is going on. It's pretty scary on a fleshly, worldly sense, but as a Christian, we should be encouraged by watching God's word fulfilled right before our eyes. The EU Commission has begun legal action against the nation of Hungary and the nation of Poland over LGBT issues. And it's all about perverting children. The European Union doesn't like the fact that Hungary and Poland won't go along with the agenda to pervert children. In the case of Hungary, the legal procedure was related to several issues, including a newly adopted law in Hungary banning the teaching of gender ideology or homosexuality to children.
Amen.
Good.
And so Hungary is trying to do the right thing, and the European Union is trying to penalize them. And regarding Poland, the Commission has objected to the so-called LGBT ideology free zones. In other words, they've declared that there's some areas, including with children, where you don't bring it up, you don't discuss it. That we would call that the 1980s. I mean, they didn't bring this stuff up in my school. They didn't bring it up on TV all the time. Once in a great while, you might see something. The whole world was LGBT ideology-free zone just when I was in school. That's how far we've fallen. But as I said, this is a fulfillment. Jesus said in the last days to be like it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built it, just like you see going on around us today. It's business as usual, only it was Sodom. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And as soon as the rapture takes place, that's when the 7 years of tribulation begins. At some point right after that, whenever the beast, the Antichrist, confirms the covenant. If you have a teacher telling you it's a peace treaty, that's false. It's not a peace treaty. It's a covenant. The covenant. It's the Mosaic Covenant.
Amen.
With the Jews so that they can build a temple and sacrifice animals. When they do that, that's when you're concerned with the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. And Jesus says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That's Luke 17, 28 through 30. The second headline we want to look at are Marxists are burning Canadian churches.
Yeah.
At least 45 Christian churches have been set on fire in Canada as attacks escalate. The crimes stem from far-left terrorists with a Marxist ideology, which is exactly what Black Lives Matter is, Antifa, critical race theory, all that stuff. Basically the Democrat Party agenda, by the way.
Yeah.
Whose sole purpose is to strike fear in Canadians for practicing their faith. And folks, that's what we've seen here in America. We were removed from a local radio station because they were afraid that what you're hearing from this pulpit was going to get them in trouble.
Yeah.
That Marxists would burn down their radio station. And there's churches. There's people who won't attend certain churches because they're afraid that if they do, there'll be some kind of backlash. If their family finds out, if their employer finds out, they'll get fired. All that sort of thing's going on right here. It's Marxist terrorism. We call it the Democrat Party, but it's Marxist terrorists. And I don't care who doesn't like it. I am going to speak the truth on this matter. The Democrat Party is a terrorist organization. Murdering babies, promoting Sodom and Gomorrah, trying to shut down free speech in this country by taking over the social media giants of Facebook, Twitter, and Google, all a bunch of Marxists who are using capitalism as their power to shut down freedom and install Marxism in America today. And very few preachers have the spine to preach that today. Shame on them. And shame on the Christians paying their salaries. Eventually, only worship of the beast will be tolerated. Eventually, you will not be tolerated. And those who are left behind after the rapture will be part of the whole thing. They're the churches today that have the words like inclusive and diversity. And they're waving the pride and the Black Lives Matter flags and all that. Those are the churches of Antichrist. They will serve him once the tribulation begins. So number three, leftist liberal censorship and mind control that we just referred to a moment ago. The White House is flagging what they consider to be problematic posts for Facebook. Folks, if Republicans or conservatives of by any stripe were to try to shut down the left and all the crap that they put out there, there would be a hue and cry going on. Everybody, including conservatives, would be talking about how terrible it is. That's not what's going on now. What's going on now is you have a Marxist president with a Marxist political party trying to shut down free speech in this country. And they are flagging the posts and then having their servants at Facebook pull the posts down and ban the people who post those things. They are operating just like the Nazi Party. They are operating just like the Bolsheviks in communist Russia. They are just like the Maoists in China. These people are communists who only wear a socialist tag for political convenience. They can't get by with being full-fledged communists yet. They're getting there. They can't lock you up yet. But they're trying to get there. Our Supreme Court refused to hear the case with the florist who is being told you will obey, you will submit to the sodomite agenda and the Marxist agenda, and you will make flowers and deliver them to these abominable fake sodomite marriage ceremonies. I don't see any sign that she's going to give in, but she's going to lose her business probably. Shame on America.
Amen.
Shame on this country.
Amen.
Shame on this Supreme Court in the United States of America.
Amen.
And shame on anybody going along with this.
Amen.
I don't care if they're my blood relatives. Shame.
Right.
A hellish generation here in America today.
Yeah.
And a pathetically mousy, silent Christian generation today.
Uh-huh.
Critics slammed the move, saying it infringes on the First Amendment, pointing out experts have frequently been wrong. Oh, let's see. When were they wrong? Like the theory that COVID started in a Wuhan lab, once banned from some online discussions, but now even the World Health Organization deems it credible. For the last year, if you posted that you believed that the COVID virus leaked from a Wuhan lab, you were banned by these communists at Facebook. You were banned by the communists at Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You were banned by the communists at YouTube and Google. And now we know it's true. They were banning you for posting truth. And they'll still ban you for posting the truth. Yeah. You post the truth, factual matter, that the transgender movement is causing skyrocketing suicide among their own people. Skyrocketing domestic violence and murder among their own people. They'll ban you. You're not allowed to speak truth. The Orwellian nightmare is the Democrat Party agenda today.
Yep.
Amen to that.
This is a comment by Katie Pavlich. She's a conservative commentator. She's editor of townhall.com. And she pointed this out and got quite a bit of flack. The redhead press secretary for Biden is Psaki, P-S-A-K-I. I think it's Psaki, or maybe Psaki, Psaki. But Katie Pavlich says, Psaki, or whatever, says the White House has been flagging problematic posts on Facebook they believe are misinformation about Wuhan coronavirus. Reminder, Fauci worked with Facebook to ban the lab leak theory, which is factual, for more than a year. Anybody listening to Dr. Fauci is a fool.
Amen.
On a related matter, shark advocates are calling for rebanding violent shark attacks and calling them interactions.
Yeah.
This is for real, folks. These
these
people have lost their minds. The Bible says they're reprobates.
I don't understand.
Shark attacks, that's mean, and you might offend a shark, I suppose. So now you are to call them interactions.
What?
Now, Katie Pavlich just happened to make the right comment. Shark advocates sound like Democrats.
Amen to that.
And moron mind control. The National Fruit Bowl League. And that's their thing. They made that up.
That is real. That's
the football is gay thing is the NFL thing now.
Wow.
They, quote, also plan to donate $250 million, not to the ghettos, not to help the people who are poor in this country and help them have health care. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to donate $250 million to racial social justice causes. So these people like the head of the BLM can have two houses for $500,000 on, you know, and all that kind of thing. That's what socialism is all about. Socialism is about making the leaders of socialism live like kings and everybody else lives poor. And they're going to do that, and also reportedly even looking into creating political video content and educational programs to lecture sports fans about black grievance.
Wow.
Well, what they ought to do is make videos about how the Democrat Party has treated the blacks in America like slaves.
Yep.
And the blacks in this country need to get off the Democrat plantation. They need to use their brain and stop voting for the Democrat because he's for the working man.
Yeah.
It's all a lie.
Amen.
And by the way, equal time. Don't think I'm promoting the Republican Party. The chairwoman of the GOP is Mitt Romney's niece. And you got all these rhinos in the Republican Party doing just as much damage. They just don't have control yet of the party completely. We'll say more about that, but this we got a pressing matter here. Racism concerns are pushing U.S. agencies to rename the invasive Asian carp. These are true stories, by the way. This is not satire. This isn't Babylon Bee. This is the Biden administration and U.S. agencies who want to, out of sensitivity to some of the abuse of the Asian population, we're going to get rid of the name Asian carp. Because it might hurt some carp's feelings, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, and then this one. One more. You can no longer refer to the gypsy moth or gypsy ant because you might offend gypsies. Folks, this is, it's funny.
It's not.
But it is brain dead idiocy, and these are the people running your country right now.
Why do you think
these are the people who vote, yeah.
Why do you think the letters in Biden stand for biggest idiot Democrats ever nominated?
Yeah. So, just in summary before we take comments, every story mentioned above, or just mentioned in the last few moments, is related to the coming beast system.
Amen.
Yeah. Do you see this idiocy about gypsy moths and all that? That's to brainwash you. It's like you're no longer allowed to call the homosexual anything except for what he says you can call him. Even though they call themselves that, they name their organizations after those things, but it's about control. You will obey. You will say what we tell you to say. You will use the language we tell you to use. How many fingers do I have up? You say four, you're in trouble.
Four.
Because we say there's five. That's what's coming.
Yep.
All right. Anybody want to add anything or ask a question, Johnny?
Yep. That reminds me of not too long ago, I believe it was one of the radio stations interviewed somebody from Babylon Bee, I believe. And they talked about how, you know, how crazy this is getting, how, you know, they'll have a story that's supposed to be a joke and then it'll come true.
Yeah. Yeah. Satire's become real life. Rick?
Well, the irony of banning people on these Facebooks and everything and then comparing it to the Baronelle Stutzman case where she's forced to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, she as a business owner has no right to say, I can refuse service to people, but the people on these platforms are refusing service in their open platform to other people. So it's hypocrisy.
It's not based on any real principle. It's not really even based on law in any way. It's just an agenda-driven thing. And they serve Lucifer. They're pushing Lucifer's agenda. And so anybody in the way, get ready. Yeah, Jessica?
Can that woman who's doing the flowers or whatever say, okay, I'll do your flowers, but I'm going to charge you a great deal of money?
I don't know the legality of that. I'm sure they've got it's part of the law against that you have to charge the same thing for everybody.
That's part of the Civil Rights Act. Mm-hmm. You have to charge the same prices for everybody.
And see, that's what.
So.
I get in trouble for saying this. Rand Paul, Ron Paul, Thomas Sowell, some other people get in trouble for saying this. Candace Owens, she gets in trouble for saying this. But that's what's wrong with the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement used the government, created laws that aren't constitutional in order to force white supremacists to allow blacks or other non-whites into their business. Well, once you do that, then you can now force people to have homosexuals spending the night in your bed and breakfast. And homosexuals, even the churches are under pressure in some states, which, you know, they'd have to probably pass an amendment to the Constitution to get that done, but try to force churches. We won recently, we being Christians, they tried to force a church to hire people who aren't Christians and so that they could get homosexuals hired in there. And the government, on that issue, stood by the churches and said they have a right to choose to have people who work for them that believe in their same agenda. But what should happen in this country and what should happen anywhere is, hey, if that white supremacist over at the coffee shop, or he could be a Hebrew, it's called a
Hebrew Israelite
that's pretty much blacks only. And you can say, no whiteys. In a free country, that should be allowed to happen. You know what else should happen? Good, decent people don't shop there. And he goes out of business.
Yep.
But see, that was how our country was founded.
Amen.
But doing the right thing the wrong way is what we're really suffering, some of the consequences we're suffering because of that. Sean?
I think when my mother graduated from U of L and had a certificate for teaching in schools and so forth, she applied to all the different schools. And I remember she applied to teach in a Catholic school. And although they told her she was qualified to teach in school, she wasn't Catholic, so they weren't going to hire her. And we just all agreed, well, you know, I guess if it's about being Catholic in the Catholic school, yeah, my mother wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, they should be allowed to
it
do
is
that.
What it is.
Yeah.
You can't change it.
Yeah.
Facts don't matter to the liberals.
All right, last one, then we got to move on.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if that probably also caused all sorts of strife just from, you know, you've got a guy who previously only wanted to hire white people, say, or serve white people, but then you think, is he really going to, even if he's now forced to serve black people or whatever, do you have any guarantee that he changed his mind?
Well, they don't care as long as they, you're forced to.
You're just supposed to submit.
Yeah.
I know, but the idea is, I'll bet that would cause problems, because what if he decides he's doing it because he hates somebody like that, and now sure he'll.
It's been going on for 50 years, and they don't care whether you agree, they just want you to submit. It's the same thing with the homosexual
crime,
thing.
Though. In other words,
well, it probably did. It probably did. But it's now, you got 50 years, you can go research it and see what happened, because that's been going on for 50 years.
I wouldn't want to...
Or say, well, it's more, yeah, 60 years.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that, just because the government says I can.
All right, we can talk more about that later. Let's go ahead and get into our Bible study now with an opening word of prayer. And we're going to ask Brother Doug, who had a birthday Friday, and we're going to have some cake afterward. And I think, Nick, is it your birthday coming up or did?
This
coming Friday?
Right.
16.
Well, what was
the last? Oh, it's the same. Wow, that's interesting.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was a good day.
Just
brought Doug and Nick into the world. All right, Brother Doug, you open Bible study prayer if you would.
Thank you, Lord, this day. We pray for the message today that touches people's lives, Lord God. Pray have such a beautiful day.
Yeah,
we thank you for the word of God in
Jesus'
holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're in Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. We're titling this from the text, What Ye Ought to Say. And this doesn't have anything to do with what we were talking about in the current events update of the mind control or anything like that. But it's related to your mind and your heart, so... Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. If you're there, read it with me. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Amen?
Amen.
So, as current events demonstrate, we must be thoughtful about facing persecution. We ought to be ready to face those times when we have to deal with these matters in both official and unofficial persecution. Verse 11 begins and says, And when they bring you, you have to pay attention to who is Jesus talking to when he says things. When they bring you. So we must first be sure to take Jesus' words as spoken, as always. In the previous study, last week, Jesus spoke to whosoever. If you look up in verse 10, it says, And whosoever shall speak a word against, etc. So the address is to a different situation. In verse 10, it was whosoever. In verse 11, it's you. This was in verse 10. It was a general truth spoken to everyone. It was something that everyone needed to take heed of and pay attention to. But in verse 11, it changes the audience to whoever you is. Whoever the you is in verse 11. And so we look again. It says, And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers. So who is the you? The intended audience is present as Jesus is speaking. This is a statement made to those right there with him. And we addressed that in the previous study that some had tried to say that the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost could only be committed by those who were there with him, but that's not what the text says. Jesus didn't say, if any of you here standing in front of me or anyone sees me in the flesh or whatever, he said, whosoever. And we looked at the other scripture with scripture and saw that he even mentioned that it's not just in this world, but in the world to come. And so what was commanded of these first century disciples of Jesus that he's talking to when he says, and when they bring you unto the synagogues, he tells them, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Now, that's a very appealing idea, and that's why a lot of people will actually grab a hold of this verse and ignore the rest of the Bible, and it becomes their excuse for not reading the Bible, their excuse for not attending a church that actually teaches the Bible, their excuse for being ignorant. They'll say, well, that's what the Bible says. Take no thought how or what things you shall answer or what you shall say. And this is then followed by a promise in verse 12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. See, you don't have to study and, you know, you don't have to learn how to think and listen to questions and find out how to answer those questions and all that. That's a waste of time. I mean, you know, because the Bible says that if you ever get in a situation where you need to know something, it's just going to pop right in there and you're going to say it, right? Well, if Jesus was talking to you, yeah. But Jesus wasn't talking to whosoever. He was talking to you, the audience, sitting right in front of him. See?
Amen.
And it happened. Did you know that?
Yep.
It actually happened. Now, not on purpose, but I kind of put this to the test in my own life, and I'm sure I could get other testimonies here from the honest folks that would admit it. There have been times where something confronted me. I had given it no thought beforehand. And you know what happened? I had no idea what to say. And if you take that out of context and don't understand it properly, you'd think God failed you. Come on, God, why didn't you fill my head with something brilliant? Because he wasn't talking to you. And that's why we get criticized for it, and I don't care. It's true. All the Bible is written for us, but not all the Bible is written to us.
Amen.
And just some obvious examples. Don't walk out here today afraid that you might eat a piece of fruit that happened to come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
You won't.
That's not to you. There's truth about it for you, but it's not to you. Unless you're Ken Ham, don't build an ark. Or a Tower of Babel that's coming soon. He's using it for his purposes. Well, and he says, and I believe there's been a lot of people encouraged by that, so more power to it. But you also, you know, you don't worry about, how many of you yesterday flew over to Israel and tried to get up on the Temple Mount and sacrifice an animal?
No.
How many of you done that recently?
Not recently.
Why? Because all that stuff in the Old Testament has some wonderful truths for us, but it's not written to us. We're not to go take, you know, Easter time. Some of the Christians think, you know, they're really spiritual, so they have Passover Seders. Now, it's great to have a Passover Seder kind of demonstrated, but they always throw in the stuff that isn't in the Bible, the egg, the extra chair for Elijah, you know, all that stuff. That's not in the Bible. That's stuff that was added by apostate, unbelieving Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ. They added that to the Passover later. The Bible Passover was totally different. You know what you do for a Bible Passover? Kill you a lamb. So don't act like this is to anybody watching this who claims to have a Passover Seder every Easter time. You ain't having a Passover Seder. Where did the Bible ever say you're no longer required to kill a lamb at Passover? It doesn't. Yeah, why aren't you putting the blood on the doorpost? Yeah. They did that to commemorate what had happened when God brought them out of Egypt during the Exodus. God never said you no longer have to kill a lamb to keep Passover. What God did say is, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, which means we're no longer having Passover Seders. We have our Passover in Jesus Christ. So you have to make your choice. You're either going to embrace the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, or keep having the Passover biblically, which means you need to kill a lamb. This thing that they've created in between is fake. And you're supposed to, yeah, Rick's really getting technical on me there, but I mean, it's true. It's true. If you're going to keep it biblically, that's what you've got to do. So that's what, when you read the Bible, don't claim a promise that isn't to you. Because then you're going to get mad at God for not keeping His promise when the problem wasn't God, it was you. And I see so many Christians get frustrated and discouraged because God didn't keep their promise. I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says if you raise up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That does not mean that every child raised in the Lord will be saved.
Yeah.
That's not what it says. I don't care what you think it means. What's it say? It says that if you raise that child right, he will never forget that. No matter how far into sin he goes, like the prodigal, while he's eating the pig slop, he never could forget his father. Never could forget what he was taught. And he came back. Fully repentant. But they all don't. They don't all do that. Mm-hmm. We've got stories from the scripture where Josiah, you don't think he raised his kids right? What about God? You don't think he raised Adam and Eve right? You say, well, they ended up right with God in the end. We believe so. As far as Adam and Eve, but some of these other examples, there's no evidence at all. But I'll guarantee you this, they never forgot their upbringing. They never forgot what they were taught when they were raised. See, so when you have a child or two or three or four or however many who walk away from the Lord, but you say, well, I'm claiming that promise, they're going to come back. You just set yourself up. You're going to think God didn't keep His word. But you know what? If you keep the promise as it's intended, then you know no matter where they are, they will never get away from what you taught them. And then when you pray and say, Lord, convict them. Pour it on, Lord. Don't let up till they repent.
Amen.
You know what He's going to do? Exactly that. See, it's all about understanding the Bible as it's intended. Then you got the right promise, the right perspective, and God will never let you down. But when you misrepresent Him or misunderstand Him, don't blame Him when He lets you down because you didn't even understand what it actually said or meant. So when did this happen? The book of Acts. These people that Jesus is speaking to, and one example of someone He wasn't even speaking to right here and there, but was alive and well during this time, we'll talk more about it in a second. In the book of Acts, you'll see where the apostles are presented with situations that they weren't prepared for. And yet when the time came, the Holy Spirit gave them the exact right thing to say. We do that by comparing Scripture with Scripture. We're not going to run all the references because that would take until Doug's next birthday. But we are going to look up a couple of them. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 19. And Jesus said to those right there in front of Him, Peter was one of them. He said, don't worry about what to say. When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Well, in verse 19, Acts chapter 5, says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, if you're there, read 20. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And then if you read, are the next verses where the angel of the Lord tells him what to say? He doesn't have a study session with him. He just sends him and says, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's all he says. He doesn't hand him notes. He doesn't preach to him and say, you know, take this down. He just sends him. And by the way, that's what I'm showing you up here. It's a western wall. It's supposed to be near the temple site, which we're not really sure about. God knows. But it is where you're reading in Acts 5 was somewhere close to this vicinity. Somewhere close to that. We don't know it exactly. There's some people who say they do know. And there's you can pick five of them, and they all contradict each other, but they're all very sure. So we're going to find out. But look over verse 41, 42 then. And they departed from the presence of the council. Remember, Jesus said they'll bring you forth in front of the magistrates and all that. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what do they do? Read verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. God gave them the words to speak, just like he had promised them to do. And you can just do a survey. I just spent some time last night, or yesterday afternoon, just looking over this, of the book of Acts. And I found this promise of Jesus fulfilled nearly 20 times, just in the book of Acts, where they were confronted by, in the synagogues, by the magistrates and so forth, councils, no preparation time at all. You know, I'll tell you right up front, I cheat. You know, I've read the Bible and read the Bible, and I'll read books and commentaries. I've sat through other teachers' teaching, which is no different from reading a commentary or a book on the Bible or reading a study Bible with notes. It's no different than sitting under me right now. You are to judge everything by the Scripture. The only thing inspired and infallible is the text itself.
Amen.
But if you do that, you're a Berean, and you're very careful searching the Scriptures to see if what you're being taught is so, then you will learn a lot and be prepared a lot of the time. Maybe not every time, but a lot of the time you'll be prepared. But when you read the book of Acts, these guys, no preparation, hadn't read any of the books or commentaries because they hadn't been written yet. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. They didn't have anything but an Old Testament to read. And yet, in the book of Acts, we get these Holy Ghost-inspired testimonies. From Peter, for example, Acts 2:14, 3:12, 4:8, 4:19, 5:29, 11:4, 15:7, every one of those represents Peter in a situation responding and being given what to say by the Holy Spirit. Fulfilling the actual promise given by Jesus, not the misunderstanding that some people have, but the actual promise that you, when you, who, those, this is where I believe it is, about those who actually saw Jesus in the flesh. And I think it extends to those who are believers, obviously, and saw the resurrected Christ. And then received the Holy Spirit. Peter on Pentecost, we'll see Acts chapter 9, Paul. But before Acts chapter 9, there was Stephen. And Stephen didn't have time to prepare. He didn't know what was about to happen. But beginning in Acts 6, 9, all the way through Acts chapter 7, Stephen spoke the words God gave him. And then came Paul. Paul received the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 9. He sees the resurrected Christ and then is blinded immediately for several days. But in Acts 13, 16, 17, 2, 17, 22, and all that, I'm not going to read all that off. Those are all references, numerous references, almost 20, just for those three men who saw the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus here in this text. And folks, I say this before we move on. Every promise of God either has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, or will be fulfilled. God's word is true. You can have full confidence in God's word. I try to be a man of my word, but you can't have full confidence in my word. I can say, hey, let's get together on August 21st, such time, whatever. Something may come up and I don't make it. I could be in a car accident, whatever. That's never going to happen with God. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. Amen? And who knows how many times this happened that we're not even told about. Mm-hmm. You know, the book of the Gospel of John said that if everything were written that Jesus did, all the books in the world couldn't contain it.
Amen.
Well, we know there's the same thing is similarly true of the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And in the Acts, when we're given a very select, what are we given? We're given basically what we need to know. Thank God for the book of Acts. We go from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans. I, Paul. Who the heck's this? Where'd Paul come from? He's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at least by name. He might have been among the Pharisees, you know, giving Jesus some lip. But we don't know him by name. And then all of a sudden, Romans. Thank God for the book of Acts.
Yeah.
We know where Paul came from. But we don't know how many times this happened to... Oh, there's, you know... if you take Peter and Paul aside, there's still 10 apostles. And the early Christians say that, you know, Andrew went here and was crucified on an X-sized cross. And Thomas went into India and was murdered. And, you know, all that. Well, all but the Apostle John were supposed to be martyrs. But when they went out, they were confronted by the same things. And you know, Jesus' promise held true for them. Why did it change? Because God gave us the Bible. We're not told to do this. Imagine if a preacher stood up and said, now folks, some of you have been studying the Bible, and I know you've been putting a lot of effort into this. You need to stop all that. Take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say.
That's being preached, though.
Basically, that's the motto of most ministries today. It's not about the Bible, and they're not encouraging people to read the Bible. And I'm sorry, but the Roman Catholic Church, for example, they're not told to study the Bible. And until recent years, you would actually get in trouble if they found out you were. A lot of the martyrs in Fox's Book of Martyrs were killed because they had their own Bible in their own language and could read it and did read it. So that's not to you. It's for you. Why? I just believe, I hope you got the gist of the thing here. We see that Jesus promised something and it came true. How's that for you? Because now you know one more time you've seen God's promises are true. Mm-hmm. We're told the exact opposite. You see, keep reading your Bible, you'll see we're told the exact opposite. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm not going to take for granted that all of you know that by heart. Some of you were in Awana, and so you, a workman.
So to show thyself approved unto God.
A workman are not ashamed.
Approved
workmen are not ashamed. Yeah.
There you
go. Had to brush up a little bit.
It's okay.
2 Timothy 2:15, it was the theme verse of that little group. If you dare, read that with me. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you can tell me if you disagree with me here, but isn't that the exact opposite of what Jesus said?
Yeah.
So Paul's a counterfeit. Paul contradicts Jesus. Paul, that's what you have out on YouTube land and out on the internet and everything. You see people saying that. Why are they saying that? Well, first of all, they're either unsaved and maybe even devil-possessed. But Paul doesn't contradict Jesus. Paul's not talking to the same crowd that Jesus was talking to. Jesus wasn't talking to the same crowd Paul is talking to. See, that's why it's not a contradiction. We are told to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. It's going to take work. Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
turn over a page, or at least in my Bible, it's turning over a page. Some of you read that tiny little print, might be on the next page over. 2 Timothy 3:16. One of the most important Bible verses about the Bible, but read verses 16 and 17 with me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. See, that's not telling you, don't worry about, don't prepare, don't. That's not, it's the exact opposite to you and I. He's actually telling us the reason he gave all Scripture was so that we would know doctrine, we'd be prepared for reproving others, for correction, ourselves and others, by the way, for instruction in righteousness. And so that's the big difference there. It's repeated over and over in God's Word. Some of you probably toss out some references that you know. Throughout the Psalms and the Proverbs, we're constantly told that. But God gave us His Word so that we could prepare. If you have a Bible and you are not reading it and studying it and preparing yourself to be used of God, now you know why God's not using you. God will not use you. He's not desperate. Amen. God is looking for people who read and study His Word in preparation to be used.
Amen.
And if you will, He will. It's amazing, over the years I've known people who really didn't study the Bible the way they ought to, and they start studying, reading everything, and all of a sudden they'll come to me and say, "You won't believe what happened to me." Somebody comes across, and all of a sudden, and you're like, "I was just reading that recently." But if you hadn't been, if they had said that, you would have said, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Why? Because you hadn't read it. It wasn't in there. So that's why God's not bringing that person across your path, because you're just going to look at him with a dumb look on your face. But if you have prepared yourself, suddenly that person comes along and you're able to say, just happened to be reading about that not too long ago. And you can have a conversation, an intelligent conversation. And that's another promise Jesus gave us. In John 16:13, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. That's not handwriting in the clouds, you know, God up there forming the clouds into words and all that. That's not what you saw in your Cheerio bowl, you know, that kind of thing. He will guide you into all truth. He has. It's called
the Bible.
When He spoke that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation had not been written yet. What happened? The Holy Spirit came and gave us those books. 29? That's why we put it in the nursery, actually. We have a Bible list of books, and I'm going to put one in here. I haven't figured out exactly where I'm going to put it. I might trade out one of these so that it'd be more visible. I'm not picking on anybody, but there are a couple people here just in the last couple weeks that didn't know the books, your books of the Bible. And I'm not picking on you. I didn't point you out. How dare you? Hit the floor and give me 50. But let's just be honest, without me pointing any of you out, and I'm going to look at everybody right now so that no one thinks I'm looking at anyone in particular. You should know the books of the Bible. Invest a little time to get familiar with the books of the Bible. And then get a Bible that is yours. If you forget it and use a pew Bible, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but you should have a Bible that is your Bible, and you get to know it. Even if you put the cheaters on, there's nothing wrong with that. I got mine. See the cheaters? Nothing wrong with that.
You're a cheater. But,
amen. I believe in using tools. But you know what? If I have no idea whether or not Hezekiah is a book, I'm like, Hezekiah, Hezekiah, where's Hezekiah? There's preachers I've seen do that. If you will turn your Bible to Hezekiah chapter 2, verse 4. Hezekiah chapter 2. And there are people out. And he's like, that's not actually a book of the Bible. And he's trying to prove a point, but I try not to embarrass anybody. I do that pretty well without trying, so I don't want to add any. But that's what happens. You have the Spirit in you. You have the Bible. If you will put forth the effort, you will be guided into all truth. You say, what do you mean all truth? All the truth you need.
Amen.
You want to know what ye ought to say? Study, learn, and memorize God's word.
Amen.
You will be amazed at the times where you may not have known what to say in the past. Comes along and then all of a sudden you know what to say. Now, this is where you have to understand. Don't get the big head. Because without the Spirit, you wouldn't understand it. Yeah. You wouldn't know how. That's the sword of the Spirit. How many of you feel confident right now to pick up a big sword and take somebody on? Nope. Not me. Not me.
Charlie. Huh?
Charlie's the one we would take on. I'm not taking him on. Why? Because he's weird. And he spends time messing with swords. You see, I don't pick up swords. I don't, you know, Jenny won't let me have them. She's afraid I'll hurt myself. You see, but that's the way the Bible is, sadly, with a lot of people. They're not wielding the sword of the Spirit because it's like David said about Saul's armor.
Haven't proved it.
You get in the book, you learn the book, you memorize the Word of God, you get out there, God will start using you. You'll learn how to wield that sword. And you'll find God using you. As long as you stay with His program. Don't get off into all the weird crap that people are getting into and pulling them out of the... We were talking about that in Sunday school. And even if you believe like a flat earth or something like that, that's fine, but that's not your calling. I mean, I'm for the Constitution, but that's not what I go out preaching. You know, that's not my calling. My calling is the gospel. And once you're saved, my calling is to help you understand the Word. And then along with that, you understand our blessing of the Constitution and the country we have, the freedoms we have, and all that goes with it. That's not your main calling. And no matter what it is you love to do, and pick on Mary, a little, what do you call it, crochet. See, that's why I don't even pick up the needlepoint.
You'd be better at croquet.
Yes. Mary doesn't run around saying, you know, if you want meaning in life, you should crochet. Now, that has its place, right? But her message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I pick on everybody around here, all the different things you do and things you're into. But stay on that course that God has set for all of us. The same course.
Amen.
1 Peter 3:15 said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. See, that's the opposite of what Jesus said to that crowd. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And most of the time, we simply need to present that gospel and give her our personal testimony. You present the gospel and then tell them what it did for you. Mm-hmm. Tell them about when you were saved. It's that simple. And that's where we'll end the study.
And I wanted to just say, too, the context that Jesus says, when they bring you into the synagogues, magistrates, and powers, it's like they're dragging you before the authorities or questioning you at probably a time where you're not going to have your Bible study out.
Yeah, you better have it in your head and heart. Yeah, that's right. And I'll say this too before we close up completely, as the musicians slowly make their way up forward. Like, call this band the BBF Snail Band. But
The
thing too is this will have, I believe, application during the tribulation. Because these people are going to get saved, and they're immediately going to be hunted. They're not going to have time for the blessing of local church fellowship and Bible study.
That's right.
And so a lot of those guys, 144,000, they're going to be saved, sealed, and delivered. Because they're going to go right out there preaching and then martyred.
Yeah.
You know. But again, that's understanding the context and where you and I are. As we turn to page 500 and sing the pastor's favorite song. I mean, I'm looking forward to being in heaven, being in the millennium. I'm not saying I'm giving up. I'm not saying I'm burnt out or anything, but I think I'm not alone. Aren't you tired of all this? I'm just tired of it. But soon enough, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be where we don't have to worry about these things anymore. A whole new thing we haven't even imagined what's ahead. But in the here and now, let that be an encouragement to you. Don't check out. But just think about the fact that you just keep plugging away, keep serving the Lord, and one of these days it's all going to be over. Amen? Let's sing about it. You can stand if you can. Send them out to bbfohio@protonmail.com. As we say goodbye on three. One, two, three.
See you here, there, or in the air.
God bless everyone.